Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the kingdom of God, Lord, and just the unction of the Holy Spirit that lights our hearts and our faces, Lord, to be fully under your leadership, completely yielded to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, we've been talking about walking in the authority of Christ through knowing his word. We call it Bible revival here in 2024. We are in John every week. I encourage you, sit with us in the book of John, currently in John 3, and we will move beyond verse 3 through 10 eventually. Today should be the last segment in that. But there's so much there, right? Who would have thought just going chapter by chapter in the book of John? There is so much there when you just sit with the Holy Spirit and invite him to speak and teach. So, but we encourage you, sit with the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't let scripture reading be just ritual and rote. It's an act of listening. Amen. Reading the Bible is an act of listening, connecting with Christ, and then doing what he says. We do want you to be able to walk out your obedience. Amen, guys? Amen. The Lord reveals. We obey through his grace, his power, and our connection with him. And then transformation happens. So we want to hear, we want to obey, and be transformed to the image of Christ. So let's go back to John chapter 3, verse 3, and read through this, and we'll talk about the kingdom. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly I say to you," he's talking to Nicodemus, a rabbi and a member of the Sanhedrin, "unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So there it is, kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Could he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born, quote, again?" Jesus answered and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." So the first one is see or spiritually perceive it, even see it moving, see its rule in your life. It starts by being born again. And here he says, unless you're born of water, that's your mama, and the Spirit physically, and then born again spiritually, you can't enter into the rule and reign of Christ in your heart. Verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. So again, he contrasts the two births. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. For the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't, and you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes, but so is everyone who's born of the Spirit." So in other words, and it's interesting, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma, and it means wind. So you cannot see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You know, if you look at Waylon Cannon, I don't see him currently, he might be in kids' church. Oh, he's in the back. He's different. So you can't see how the Spirit has moved in and taken over Waylon, who's 16, taken over his heart and his life. You don't see the Spirit, but you see the effects of Christ in him. Does that make sense? Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things?" Because again, they're spiritually discerned and perceived. So our new birth is actually the introduction to life in the kingdom under the leadership and the lordship of Jesus Christ. He's not just resident, he's president. He moves in to take over. It is a takeover because he's a king. And that's what kings do, is they take territory. So he'll start in your spirit, but he's after your thought life. You know, he wants to save, if you will, redeem your mind, your soulish man, your emotions, your will, and then manifest in and through your body. I mentioned last week, Jim Putman, good author, great author, said, "We cannot only emphasize the wedding, we must also emphasize the marriage." And what he's pointing out is too many times in America, it's just about making a decision. Somebody, you know, converts to Jesus Christ and prays a prayer and then goes back to being Lord of their own life. And it's like all the time and effort and priority was in getting somebody saved, and there's no time and effort and priority in the marriage to Christ, which is the main thing. I mean, yes, I get that without being born again, we can't start the journey as sons and daughters. But guys, as Wyatt prophesied out of Ephesians 1 or declared out of Ephesians 1, the whole shooting match is about you living as God's offspring, connected every single day. You know, we're not here to give you a bunch of rules to follow and live out in your flesh and decide what you like and what you don't like. We want you to live heart to heart, day to day, thought to thought, spirit to spirit connection with Christ. And that's, you know, all day, every day. It'd be like what's happened in the West is people come forward, make a decision for Christ. And it's like, okay, yay, I got married. I had a great big wedding and I put all the focus on the wedding and then they go live single. Could you imagine if Chuck, who married Karen not long ago, he walks the aisle and he was single, but he's like, yeah, man, yippee, I got married. I went to the altar and we did the wedding and then he just went back to living single. When you marry Christ, he's in charge. Christ is Lord. So he becomes the leader of our heart and life. And it is a process that we learn through yielding. But it's not just about training people to hear messages, guys. We want you abdicating lordship to Christ. I had an incident this last week where I didn't handle it very well in this discussion that was going on. And I went to the Lord because I thought in the, you know, discussion I was doing just fine. Well, then when I asked the Lord about it, because it was a little uncomfortable, he said, you know, it wasn't love, joy, and peace. You know what I'm saying? So I knew something was off. He said, yeah, your problem was your unsurrendered self showed up. That was a quote. He called it my unsurrendered self. And he said, Steve, your problem and everyone else's problem that happens when there is a problem is an unsurrendered self. And so welcome to the crux of the matter, human beings. All else is symptom. This is disease. The kingdom of self versus the kingdom of God. And you know what's amazing? When he showed me that, I repented. I apologize where I needed to apologize, but I repented before the Lord and I said, you be Lord of my surrendered heart. And every bit of ill feeling or uncomfortableness went away. As soon as he was allowed to be Lord and in charge, I had nothing but love and joy and peace for myself, for others, and for the Lord. See how the kingdom works? It works without exception, mathematical precision. But the minute you turn selfish, it's like a kill switch. There's nothing backing it now. It's just you. The kingdom is not... Why is that? Because God opposes the proud, which is independent and not surrendered. I don't need God. Let me just assert myself. God opposes the proud and independent, but he gives grace, which is his empowering presence. His empowering person, he gives that to the humble. So that's how it works with mathematical precision. So if you're having a fight in your marriage or there's strife at work, just ask, Lord, have I got an unsurrendered self here? Am I trying to assert myself and maybe my ego or my pride or how much I know? Because knowledge puffs up and love edifies. Amen, somebody. All that was free of charge. The kingdom, I don't mind telling on myself because I need help. I need help like everybody in this room. I have the helper just like you because we all need help. Amen? We need help. But he's faithful to us. And so we want this day-to-day connection with the Lord, not just training you to hear a message, but living out reality so you can know Christ and then make him known. So, I mentioned that about the wedding. Let's make sure as a church that when people come to Christ here, it's fine that we celebrate their wedding to Christ, but let's get together and help that person be married. Amen. We're not going to gloat. Oh my goodness, we had 7 people come to Christ. And yeah, and nobody's walking with any of them. I mean, I even had the idea, I'll tell it myself again. The idea the other day, when people get born again, they need some, you know, they need to understand the new birth. And I'm working on this paper and it's all of a sudden like, Steve, you can't just give this baby, this newborn baby, a piece of paper. What are you kidding me? So instead, we're going to give them one of you to walk with them and say, let me help you understand because it's spiritually discerned. Let me help you understand what happened to you when Christ entered your heart. Come on, man. Amen. Let's give God praise for that. That's what's happening. That is what is happening. A lot of thoughts on that. All right, so looking at verse 3 and 5, the two mentions of the word kingdom to Nicodemus here, I want you to notice Jesus mentioned the word kingdom over 100 times in the Gospels. Jesus mentions the word kingdom over 100 times, a couple of times here. He mentions the word church 3 times. So if you think it's all about church, church attendance, whatever, you have missed why he came. It is about the kingdom. It is about his rule and reign through your yielded heart and surrendered self, if I could use that term. Okay? That's not to say the church is unimportant. The church is super important, but the church serves the umbrella of advancing the kingdom because that's the gospel he preached. He never once said, sign a card, join a church, get water baptized, and when you're dead, you can go to heaven. The kingdom may not be from here, because he told Pilate it's not of earthly origin. It's not like you all's kingdoms, man-made kingdoms. It's not from here, but it's for here. The kingdom he preached is to be lived here. And he called it good news when you welcome it and receive his rule. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 18. Verse 1 through 3. This is a powerful passage about, again, entering the kingdom. At that time, disciples came to Jesus and said, who's the greatest in the kingdom, man? I'm glad we don't do stuff like that. Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him right in the midst of all of them and said, truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, dependent, reliant, not self-sourcing, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The word converted means an abrupt 180. Going one way and complete shift, complete change. Unless you're converted, which we know from John 3, talking about, unless you're born again and you get this whole new nature on the inside of you and then you become as little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. It literally means, I was Bible hubbing it this morning, it means to do an about face. Let's go to the next slide and look at basileia, which is the Greek word for kingdom all throughout the New Testament. It's his royal power, okay? It's his authority, his rule, especially of God, both in the world and where? Look, in the hearts of men, and that's both men and women there. It's kingdom in the concrete sense, because as I've told you before, the kingdom, God's truth, is reality. It is concrete. It is bedrock. You don't have to argue the truth at work or at school. Truth argues itself. What you'll notice is when people argue all the world's crazy, wild idea agenda, when they argue that with you, if you disagree, they'll typically attack you personally. Because it cannot stand on its own without force, coercion, shame, belittlement, or ostracization. I think they call it canceling you. It's held together by force. You remove it, as soon as that's removed, it doesn't hold together. Truth, on the other hand, holds together whether you believe it or not. It is the reality. It's concrete. I love the Helps Word Studies. This is right out of Bible Hub. You guys that are learning to use that app, or you can go to BibleHub.com and go to the lexicon. Just click that L-E-X button to tell you what a Greek word is in the New Testament. Properly kingdom, the realm in which a king sovereignly rules. A kingdom requires a king. Okay, especially refers to the rule of Christ in believers' hearts. One day it'll be universal on the physical earth in the millennium. One of the characteristics, and I'll talk about the nature of the kingdom just a little bit today. I need to do an entire book on the kingdom. I really do. But on the nature of the kingdom, it is the kingdom of an offer, not a demand. For right now. One day, though, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Everything will recognize that he is king. And the reason that Christ came as the baby in the manger and it's a kingdom of an offer is because if he comes amidst thunder and lightning and intimidation and a voice from heaven that says, obey me entirely or else, that would have created slaves and not sons. And what he's after is sons who free will of their own volition, little sovereigns, because we're made in the image of God, that we choose him out of love and respect for him. Yeah. So that's how it is, but one day it'll be on fully. The kingdom is constantly using connection with the rule of Christ in the hearts of believers. So there you go. That's how the Lord rules and reigns, guys, is by the Spirit in the human heart. Notice in this definition, it never mentions heaven. So many times when I was growing up in church, every time the kingdom was mentioned, it was about dying and going to heaven. But that is not even mentioned here. Heaven is a place. Jesus was not saying, I'm going to bring the place of heaven to you. He was saying, I'm going to bring the one who's sovereignly in charge in heaven to you. And you can have his total rulership here in your heart if you receive him. But you can't earn it. It's received. Because if you earn it, it'll be about you. And it'll all short circuit. Isn't that powerful, guys? The fact is that Jesus being fully Lord is what makes heaven so amazing. And even the world, if you did a survey today at lunch and you ask most Americans, what do you think about heaven? It's a fond feeling that they have about heaven. They think it's great. What they don't understand is the reason it's great is because there are no other options for anyone to rule other than Christ. And yet if you ask them, well, you can have that here. You can have Christ ruling your heart here and you can have heaven on earth. And they're like, yeah, I don't think so. Why? Because they want to rule themselves. And how does that turn out? Terrible. We're born again and we still do dumb stuff. We still make bad choices that turn out bad. And I'm just waiting for it now. It's going to be, Steve, that was your unsurrendered self that produced that. But Christ being solely in charge, that's what makes heaven heaven. He wasn't saying, repent, I'm going to bring the place of heaven to you. He said, I'm going to bring the person of heaven to you that makes heaven so great. Now my question is, how has the church not figured this out? We should be the first ones in line to say, I don't want any decision apart from Christ ruling and reigning in my life. And I'm not talking about, do I wear black or brown socks today? I hope you're tracking with me there. Our vision at Grace Church, it's on the sign. It's on most everything. It's on the website. It says this. Are you ready? We advance God's kingdom one heart at a time. The kingdom is the rule and reign of Christ via the Holy Spirit inside a yielded believer. We want that multiplied. And I'll show you this in a tool in just a little bit, but the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. That's how he rules and reigns. Mark 9:1, just for fun. Jesus said, some of you, talking to the disciples, some of you won't taste death until you see the kingdom present in power. The word power there in the Greek is, anybody want to take a crack at it? Dunamis. The same Greek word in Acts 1:8 where it says, and you shall receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The kingdom is in the Spirit. That's why he told Pilate, it's not of earthly origin. My kingdom is not from here, but it is for here. He wants to rule and reign human hearts. And if we grow into wisdom, we want that. I'm a little sovereign. I can rule my own life, but it's a terrible idea. You want to know why? I didn't invent myself. I didn't make myself. I didn't design myself. I didn't purpose myself. I don't know near as much about myself as the one who did all that. Amen. And it's only arrogance that says, well, by God, I think I'll be in charge today. God, I got this. I know all about me. Sheesh. Jesus was the most important person ever on planet Earth. You want to know why? Because he brought the kingdom of God to you by putting the Spirit of God in you and now executes its wonderfulness through you. And people see you and they're like, you're different. How come you didn't fall apart whenever you got that news? Why do you have joy that's beyond what your circumstances are? It's like you have this different source for love. How can you love Bill when he talks to you that way? How come it's just like water off a duck's back? How come it makes you pray for Bill instead of, you know, spewing at Bill? What is up with you? Jesus is the greatest person to ever be on this planet because he brought the kingdom of God to you by putting the Spirit of God in you so he can execute its wonderfulness through you. And I'm telling you, creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God. Accessing the Spirit of the Lord with my whole heart and yielding fully to his lordship forms Christ in me and advances his kingdom through me. And what a great criteria. Who can have the kingdom? Those who are what? Those poor enough to receive it. That's who can have it. So what God did is he lifted it out of human criteria. Because humans, you know what we'd be? We'd be like, well, you got to be this color. Or you got to be this gender. Or you got to be born in Israel. Oh, no, wait. You got to be a certain tribe in Israel. Then you can have the kingdom. Nope. You got to act this way. You better keep the Sabbath. You better eat. You better follow the dietary rules. That's who can have it. He lifted it out, all of it. What can every human being do that wouldn't allow them to gloat in themselves? Receive. That's the criteria. You want the kingdom? Humble yourself and acknowledge that you cannot possess it apart from him gifting it to you. So he made you, designed you, purposed you to be reliant and dependent on him. He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. A few of my notes from the kingdom, and then I'll show you the tool. A few of my notes from the kingdom study over all these years. Number one, the kingdom isn't the sweet by and by. Thank God. The kingdom is present here and now. But also not yet. I'll explain that in a minute. So it's not the sweet by and by. And I mentioned last Sunday, the devil was more than happy to give the Western Church our little prayer of decision here. And then when we're dead, we go to heaven. He was happy to give that to you so he can rule and dominate you in between time. That was his whole plan. He cannot govern heaven. He has no chance. He's been evicted. But here on the earth, he wants to rule human beings and have human beings express his selfish, very self-serving nature, sadistic nature through human beings. And just because you pray a prayer and sign a card and then say, well, I guess it's up to me until I'm dead at age 80 and I go to heaven. He dominated you that whole time. God forbid. When you receive Christ, you receive the power to overcome the wicked one. 1 John 5:4. Who is he that overcomes the world? Or that's verse 5. But he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 4 says, and this is the victory that's overcome the world, even our faith. So you have all authority in Christ. You don't have to have your teeth kicked in. Amen? And you're going to go through trials. You go through tribulations, but you can overcome those. John 16:33, he said, be of good cheer. Or in the natural world, you have trial and tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer because you'll overcome the natural world because I've overcome it for you. So you're sourced by the Spirit and not sourced by natural things. Now, we have emotions. We feel things. I'm not taking that away. We can suffer loss and we can suffer tragedy. I'm not taking that away. But the question is, how do we get through it? We get through it with him. He never promised everything would be perfect in the natural. He promised he'd be with you. And greater is he that is with you and in you than he that's within the world. Amen. Amen. The kingdom is now and not yet. What I mean by that? It's available because Jesus made it available by bringing it and then dying on the cross to clean you so you could receive the governor. Isaiah 9:6, right? The government will be upon his shoulders. But here, while we're here, other governments are possible. There's other ways that man can self-rule, or man will invent something like communism or fascism or even democracy or Nazism or there's all kinds of isms and different ways, types of governments. But there's only one that fits us, and it's the kingdom of God. Okay? And once you arrive in heaven, you'll see there are no other government options. And that's what makes heaven so amazing, is Christ rules there. I really hope I get the opportunity to share that with somebody who's in the world and has a fond view of heaven. Because the reason you think it's so great, I mean, just pull back the curtain a little bit, is because Christ is solely in charge. And you can have that here and now. So it's here, but it's also not yet. As I mentioned earlier, it's an offer that's on the table, but one day every knee will bow. The kingdom came in human form and was seen in Jesus Christ. You want to know what the kingdom looks like in a fully surrendered human being or earth suit? Jesus Christ, the King in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is health. It's healthy for you. Jesus is not just good, he's good for you. The kingdom is received, not achieved. I mentioned that. The kingdom is progressive. It'll move from spirit to soul to body. Matthew 13:33 is where that's at. The kingdom is God's total answer for your total need. Whatever the need is, he is your answer. It's called the I am principle. Whatever you have need of, I am. Do human beings need forgiveness? I am forgiveness. Do we need love? Is there like a felt human need? Yeah. Well, he is love. We need joy. He is joy. Well, I need to be able to, you know, overcome this situation at work. Well, he's your answer. Christ is the right thing to do in every situation. The kingdom is not fire insurance that leaves you running everything after you pray the prayer. How about this? I mentioned it earlier. The kingdom is present in heaven. That's why it's awesome. I mentioned this also. The kingdom cannot be used selfishly. People have tried it. You see it on Christian television all the time. Let's use God and his power and his stuff to make this work for us. But as soon as you turn it selfishly and move out of full surrender and submission, it flips the kill switch. Because your total reliance upon, dependence upon Christ activates the kingdom. Your total independent mindset nullifies it. Because like I said, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let's go to the tool. This is the kingdom advancement tool here at Grace Church. We use this in core partners. So when you go to the core partners class, if you're new to the church, you're like, man, I want to be a part. I want to know. How about this? I want to know where you're going and who you are for sure. And then I'd like to be a part. We teach this in this class so you can understand that. Core partners is not some religious attempt at let's see how many church members we can get. We don't care about that. Church members are not in Scripture. But partners in the gospel is Philippians 1:5. So we use core partners just to help explain to people who we are and where we're going. It's quite innocent. All right, so the first one, how the kingdom is advanced. Number one, accessible. The kingdom is accessible. Mention Matthew 4:17. I don't remember if I mentioned it today, but I've mentioned it a lot. From that time on, Jesus began to teach and to say, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does he mean by that? It's accessible. It's within your grasp. The kingdom of heaven is accessible. In Mark 1:14-15, Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. You can be ruled by God here. Okay, and then realm. Number two is realm. The kingdom happens in the realm of the human heart. Here's some scriptures for you. Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches what was sown out of their heart. I mentioned it last week. He doesn't want to be president of the United States. He wants to govern and invade redemptively the president of the United States' heart. Romans 10:10, with the heart man believes. That's why it's not just intellectualism. Man, what a beautiful moment Wednesday night with one of the students. And he was very honest with me. He said, I believe in my head, but I don't believe yet in my heart, but I want to. And he did later that night. Because I'm like, Lord, I prayed with him. Lord, just show yourself to him. Reveal yourself to him. And that you are not far from the kingdom of God. Because he understood, I got to get this in my heart, not just in my head. Come on, somebody. Galatians 4:6 says, because you're sons of God, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba Father is a lot different than slave master. Crying out, Abba Father, begotten of you, I'm from you. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son and a joint heir of God through Christ. Yeah. So we start by access, and then we understand, okay, the kingdom advances in the realm of the human heart. And then it resides in the Spirit. I touched on this earlier. Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God comes. How does it come? By the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 1, when the angel's talking to Mary and said, a king and a kingdom is coming. She said, how can this be? I've never known a man. He said, the Holy Spirit's coming. So the kingdom, how God rules, is in the Spirit. For God himself is Spirit. And aren't you glad he gave you one? You are spirit, soul, and body. So he penetrates his Spirit into your spirit, into your very heart and the core of your being. But from there, Matthew 13:33, he'll save your soul and your body. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is lording, there's liberty. Okay? Well, I thought Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, but he lords by the Spirit. That's why he told Pilate, it's not a physical kingdom like you guys have. All right, the next one is, the Spirit will do his work in a stubborn believer. Arrogant, independent, yielded. One of my favorite scriptures, Matthew 5:3 in the New English Bible. Jesus' first statement at the Sermon on the Mount, pretty important. How blessed are they who know their need of God. All of heaven belongs to them. Now, it's one thing to belong to the kingdom of heaven, but I just told you, through the words of Jesus, all of heaven can belong to you. You can possess it, have it at your resource and your access, if you're poor enough to live a derivative life. John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be sons of God, children of God. Hebrews 12:28, we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. So let us have grace so we can serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And then as we're yielded, we're yielding more and more to the Spirit. Guess what begins happening? Jesus is Lord. His Lordship starts taking hold. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? You don't do what I say. Think he's ever wondered that of the Western church? You call me Lord, Lord, you sing about me, all these things, you don't do anything I tell you. Romans 6:18 in the Amplified, listen to this. And having been set free from sin, you've become servants of righteousness, conforming to the divine will in thought, purpose, and action. Wow. Let me give you a little nugget. I know I'm running short on time, but when you got born again, he went to work on your will. You do have freedom of choice, always, because God is respectful. But your will, as a born-again child of God, is bent towards righteousness. So before I was born again, when I was in sin, I didn't care. Now that I'm born again, if I commit a sin, believe me, I care. And I don't want to stay there. And I might stumble, but I'm not camping there. I can't. The kingdom is at work in me. I have to move out of sin back to righteousness. I have to repent and agree with God. Isn't that wonderful? Kind of reminds me of, he who began a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. All right, let's keep going. What happens when Jesus is Lord? Spiritual formation. And Christ is formed in us, which is the goal. Galatians 4:19, children, for whom I labor in birth pains until Christ be formed in you. Romans 8:29, everybody is predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That is your destiny. We all started different, but we're all ending the same. Our destiny is the same. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation, don't copy the behavior of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing how you think. That won't happen if you make a one-time decision and never pour into the marriage. Never give it a second thought about relationship and lordship, because he's going to change the way you think. And then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And that's why I encourage you, when you have known sinners in your midst, you can't expect them to see what you see. And just, even if you told them and shamed them into quit, you know, stop sinning, they're still as lost as the devil. They have to be born again. So if you can introduce them to the change agent, the king and his kingdom, then he can go to work on how they think. But too many people in America don't understand it. And a lot of Christians, quote Christians in America, they don't understand the new creation. They think you can just out-argue everybody. I want to change their mind. They have to have Christ to perceive spiritual things, guys. That's where we start. That's what they have faith for, is for the ministry of reconciliation. Stephen, go ahead and come, brother. And then kingdom is the last one. And this is how the kingdom is advanced. We start by accessing it, understanding the realm of the heart. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We're fully yielded. We're growing into lordship. Christ is formed in me. What does that mean? When people see me, they see him. They don't see the unsurrendered self. Christ is formed in us, and then that's the advancement of the kingdom. Now, I just thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful. I am all for people getting born again and receiving Christ, but I am every bit as much for them being discipled and understanding the marriage and the relationship. Man, we got to learn how to live. We can build an iPhone, but we don't know anything about how life is to be lived. 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom is not in word. It is in power. It is in dunamis. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking or other religious things. It's righteous peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Will you stand with me? We want to see... Did you have something, Gretchen? Okay. We want to see the kingdom advance. But what he told Nicodemus is, number one, if you're not born again, you won't even perceive it. But he also told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't enter into it and have the Lord begin to rule and reign in your heart. So every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Steve, I've never been born again. I've never received the king and his kingdom rule, the king's dominion. That's what that means, the kingdom. Never received him into my heart, but I want to today. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Anyone, I want to be born again. Thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning and you'd say, Brother Steve, I don't want to walk out of here the same way I came. I want to take this word on the kingdom, on the rule and reign of Christ that's good for me, and I want to fully surrender to him. Would you pray for me? If that's you, just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you this morning. Thank you. Amen. I really want a surrendered life. Amen. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Praise God. Well, Father, I pray for these that have raised their hands before you in your presence this morning. For full and complete surrender, Lord, that would you train us? Would you teach us? Sometimes I think, Lord, we don't even really fully know how to do it. We don't even perceive it sometimes. But I pray for these willing hearts, Lord, that want you to be Lord, not just resident in them, but actually president, leading, guiding, directing them, Lord, in all things kingdom for all of your glory. And I thank you, you're faithful to do it, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give him praise this morning. Absolutely, yeah. So, Gretchen just feels like that there may be people who lack confidence in sharing Christ or discipling others. And I'm looking at this because I wrote this down somewhere in here. Yeah, once you're in the kingdom, all of heaven's resource belongs to you. You not only belong to heaven, heaven belongs to you. So you are now prepared to deliver Christ to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you have that full understanding that in my yieldedness to the Lord, my growth and maturity, all of heaven is at my access. There's no reason I can't help somebody. Now, we don't make the decision for them, right? But yeah, we are prepared and equipped to deliver Christ.
So the word that I had that I wrote down as he was preaching is, if we don't display a healthy marriage relationship in our union with Jesus, why would the world around us want to enter into a marriage with him and a union with him, right?
Right.
And so by being born again. And so that's what Steve's been talking about, is how the kingdom advances and our role in maturing. And so he talked about Waylon. Like, Waylon's just different. If you guys haven't been around him lately, you need to be around him. And he doesn't want you all at once. He just wants a few of you at a time. But he's just different. And the story that he just told about the young man at youth is Waylon's best friend, who went from being a complete atheist to now being born again. And that, yeah, that's huge.
And I want to tell you, in that conversation, the young man said something. He said, I believe in my head, but not with my heart. But he said this, listen to this. He said, but I know Waylon, and he would not lie to me. Now that is what you're
right.
talking
yeah.
about, where there's that credibility that we are married yeah. to Christ. We do know him.
Yeah. yeah. But it's that confidence. Our union should bring about a confidence. Like, Waylon has had friends, like in the same friend group, mock God in front of him. Like, be horrible to Waylon as a person. Not everybody's like, oh, I love him, I'm just not going to believe. It is not that in his environment. And so I want to just encourage you, the healthier that your union gets with Jesus, the more it's like people are going to notice. That's what Jake came up to me. Jake is the kid's name, and he doesn't mind if we tell the story.
Yeah.
We've even done it on Waylon and I on my podcast. But Jake came up one day after a percussion recording, and he was like, he's real high strung anyway. So he's like, Jake, or Gretchen. I was like, what's up, Jake? And he goes, I got to tell you something. And I was like, what? Now, this is before he's born again, because this last Wednesday night, he was born again. This was before our trip to the Philippines. And he said, well, I was gaming with Waylon last night, and before that, I asked the Lord to please use my words. Or he said God. He didn't call me Lord yet. To ask God to please use my words to encourage somebody.
Huh.
And that night, I'm gaming with Waylon. And Waylon's like, Jake, I'm starting to have doubts about what happened. And I'm starting to have, because Waylon went to Deliverance and a lot of awesome stuff happened. That podcast is coming out this week. But he was like, I'm starting to have doubts. And Jake goes, Waylon, you're different. Things have happened. And those demons just want to come back. So you got to tell them no. Like, you can't let them. And Jake was just coming to me going, Gretchen, like, I just asked God to use my words to help encourage somebody. And within the same night, it happened. And so I just want to encourage you, like, unless your marriage relationship with Jesus is healthy, people aren't going to really care what you have to say about the King and his kingdom. But when your marriage relationship is healthy, there will still be so many that mock God in front
right.
of you.
Yeah.
And that judge you for it, and that, you know, spit in your face either literally or not. But like, it will happen. But it is because of the difference that they see in you, whether they met you for the first time or whether they've known you your entire life. And I was just reminded in Luke 4 yet again, it's like our job description.
Yeah.
Jesus says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right?
Preach
but actually, if you're born again, the Spirit of the Lord is within you,
mm-hmm.
right?
In you
and he has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor, those that are in need of God. That's what that word poor means. He has sent me to proclaim and release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. I mean, that is for each one of you that are born again. Get your marriage healthy. I mean, if Brian and I's marriage is crap all the time, our boys are never going to want to get married, right?
Man, true.
Ever.
True.
Because they don't see a healthy marriage.
Yeah.
But if your marriage is healthy, your kids are going to want that. They're going to want the fruit of that. And it's the same with our union with Jesus. So I feel like we're just supposed to invite people that don't feel confident in sharing, like, or don't feel confident in
right.
their marriage union or sharing their,
I just
you
had
know,
the
just
thought
to
too that how you live and your attitude is way, carries way more weight than the words you're spouting off to lost people. But I want to say this again. In John 12, Jesus said, if someone doesn't believe my words, I don't judge them, because the truth will judge them in the end. You have to remember, you are on the side of what reality is. You're on the side of truth, and truth argues itself. Mm-hmm. You do not need to lose your mind with people.
Mm-hmm.
If they, you know, like Waylon, that's true. There's been people very ugly towards Waylon. But you can walk away. You don't have to be mad at them. You can pray for them, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let your heart break for them, because they cannot discern the life that we're living.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah.
If you would like prayer, yeah, come on down. Let's pray for those that lack confidence. Or secondly, if you are one that tends to get argumentative and all that stuff, and you're like, man, I want the peace of God in delivering
yeah.
truth, because truth has backing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not held together by force, people.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is truth.
It's not up to us that they change
right.
their minds.
The lies
mm-hmm.
of the world yep. have to be held together by coercion.
Right.
That's
yeah.
why if you take communism into a country, you're going to have to get rid of scripture, get rid of the believers, get rid of the, you know, truth.
Yeah.
Because that
yeah.
force is what holds it together.
Yeah.
So if that's you, come on down and we'll pray for you. Otherwise, you are dismissed.